Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruth E.C.
This hour is presented by Mainstay Financial and Annalee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Annalee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Annalee. Annalee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Annalee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Annalee.
Win a baby, that's the truth. Oh, everyone's a winner. Good morning, Miss Ruthie. Good morning, Mr. Bob. And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Winning with Mainstay and Annalee and Bob. And what a wonderful pleasure it is to say these words. Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you, Annalee.
Happy New Year.
Oh, gosh. Let's hope it's a better one, huh? You know, that's kind of where we left off last week, was talking about the end of 2020 and things that we're going into with 2021. You know, we talked about the virus and how it has affected us and what it's done to our unemployment rate, which is the highest it has ever been since the Great Depression. The volatility we are seeing in the market, and of course the predictions that the vaccine would you know, start leveling things out. But I think we're seeing a little bit of dichotomy to that. You know, I live over in Santa Rosa County, and they opened it up yesterday to shots, and they give you this phone number and they give you a website to Sacred Heart. Well, here's the down and dirty. The website to Sacred Heart is not listed. It was supposed to be listed yesterday. It is not up and running. And the phone number that they give you, now between Joan and I, we have called that phone number since yesterday morning 122 times. Guess how many times we got through?
Zero.
Okay. And we
painful.
Started. Yeah. And I mean, we're starting like as soon as the clock turns 8 o'clock, we're calling that number. You know, and it's very disappointing to hear people say, oh, yeah, I got an appointment set for January 20th. You are in Escambia County elsewhere. We can't even get them to pick up the phone. So, you know, you're starting to wonder how quickly is this going to happen, and how quickly is it going to make changes? Because, I mean, it's not like you you go in and you take the vaccine and you're done.
Right.
I mean, this one, you got to have two, and you got to have time for it to build up your immunity. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, how much longer this is going to linger. I think it's going to be longer than we think. I just don't want people to walk around with the false hope saying, oh, now we have a vaccine, everything is rosy. No, it's not there yet. So you still have to be aware. And as we said last week, you know, right now, the economy recovery kind of begins and ends with COVID. I mean,
right.
I don't know about you, Bob, but I don't think we can afford to keep giving out these stimulus packages.
That's right. Maybe we ought to use this money to roll out the vaccine. But, there is a logistical problem that I think everybody understands, and that is rolling out a vaccine to every human being. And, you know, I don't know what other point in time this was required or needed or needed so quickly. But do older, you know, residents of the county take precedent or is it?
Oh,
just,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's supposed to be 65 and over.
Terrific.
However, in Santa Rosa County, there are 30 something people, 30,000 something people who were of that age and then got 2,800 vaccines. So you wonder why the phone is busy, busy, busy. You know, because everybody wants to get in and everybody wants to get it. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of crazy. So if you got comments, you have a question on anything we're talking about today, give us a call, 437-1620, or text us. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, as we went through last week, the biggest challenge we have over the next several years is to start chipping away at this debt. I mean, at the end of 2020, we were $27 trillion. Not million, not billion, trillion, $27 trillion in debt. That's the largest debt we've had since World War II.
Right.
Man, that to me is scary. And people wonder if the taxes are going to go up. Well, yeah. I mean, how long have I been saying that, Bob?
Right. You know, as long as I've known you.
Yeah. You know, it's like people, there's one way out of this hole. And, you know, we got to start filling dirt into the bottom. I mean, because we just keep digging it deeper and deeper. Now, I don't know about you, Bob, but I don't think we're going to see major changes to the tax tables this year, except for those who are making $400,000 and above.
Right. Exceedingly difficult to change the tax, the income tax rates, you know, during the year, you know, when they've already come out with the published tax rates for 2021.
Right.
So, and I believe, you know, and I read something where the Wharton School of Business predicted that the total impact in terms of increases to those making less than $400,000 a year is less than 1%. So very little to worry about in 2021. For those making over that amount, of course, it's going to, you know, your taxable income will go down because your taxes will go up. But but for under 400,000, far less.
Far less, which is the majority of us by far.
Right.
You know, and what you're going to see, what the proposal is that those over the 400,000 go back to the 39.6 tax rate, which, by the way, is still less than the highest tax rate was after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that from the class, Bob, the highest tax rate we had after World War II?
What was it? I do remember it was a staggering percent, but was it over 50?
It was like 97%.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that,
yeah.
I wonder, and that was the highest tax bracket for, I mean, so if you're making $1 million, you know, you're bringing home 30,000. I mean, with that tax rate, right?
It was not pretty at all, but it certainly got us out of the hole we were in very quickly. You know, and they're looking at starting to decrease the estate tax exemption. So this, we're kind of back to that thing where everybody needs to really do some estate planning. If they bring it down to 3.5 million, which is what they're talking about per person, right now it's 11 million, what is it right now? 11,700,000 per person. So Ruthie, if you got that much to leave to your heirs, you know, under that, they don't have to worry about estate taxes. Okay.
Now going back to that 97%, that was the highest marginal rate.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So you can run through the other rates. So you're bringing home more than, I mean, they're not confiscating 97%. It's just once you reach that highest rate. I got you. Yeah. But
yeah, you know how we go incrementally.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, and things are going to happen. Again, they're looking at eliminating what we call the step up in bases. This has been on the table now for at least the past 12 years, if not longer. Every year they talk about it, they're going to get rid of it. And then they never do.
Right.
So I have no prediction on that. I kind of think they won't, because the step up in bases is a tremendous benefit for the wealthy.
Right.
And we all know who votes on what laws get passed, right?
Right. There's a lot of good reasons to keep the step up in basis in place. And one of the compelling reasons is it tidies everything up. It assigns a new cost basis instead of hanging on to a piece of property or assets for decades and decades and really not having that information. So it resets at death. The other reason is it frees up what would otherwise be a very illiquid asset. And,
right.
You live in this, or you have a big piece of real estate and you can't sell it because of the capital gains. Well, death establishes a new cost basis, and all of a sudden it becomes very, very marketable.
Very marketable type thing. So we'll see. We'll see where that's going to go. Talking about, again, raising corporate rates. Right now, they're at 21%. They're looking at 28%. Now, to give you an idea, before the adjustments made in 2017, the corporate rate was 35%. When they brought it down from 35 to 21, the reasoning was that there would be a trickle-down effect, and that money would be used to either hire new employees or pay employees more. But guess what happened? It didn't trickle
it didn't
down. It
like
went
that.
Straight to the top.
Yep.
So they're saying, okay, wait, all these guys that are making all the money are skimming off the top again. So let's go back and go up to 28%. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And unlike our marginal federal income tax rates, where we run through different rates, the corporate income tax rates are pretty much a flat tax. And when it went from 35 to 21, I mean, that is a 40% decrease, and that's really a nice handout to corporate America. So 28, I think I can live with that.
So all this brings us back to something else we mentioned last week, and we will probably be talking about an awfully lot the rest of this year. If you're going to think about Roth conversions, this is the time to really start thinking about them before the taxes start going back up.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather pay 15, 20% on a conversion than pay 28 or 35.
Right.
To me, that just kind of makes sense, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, we just saw, a rush of Roth conversions in late 2020. And, remember, folks, you can do it anytime during the year. And the beginning of the year works as well as the end of the year, right?
Right. Right. And you might want to do this incrementally, do some each quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
And of course, you have a much better handle on what your, what marginal federal income tax bracket you're going to be in at the end of the year than you do at the beginning of the year. But if you have a job and, it's a steady job and you've been doing the same thing for years and you know about what you're going to make, you can, you can pretty much gauge it and maybe save some for the end of the year.
Sure. So let's kind of look at some planning tips for 2021 and beyond, Bob. We're at the beginning of the year. Couple of things I always tell people. We started telling our people toward the end of last year, and we're certainly into it now. Look at your portfolio's asset allocation. Redo your risk profile. Understand where you are. Does your current risk profile fit where your portfolio is? Some people from last year to this year have retired. That changed their outlook on risk.
Right.
Others are looking at difference in political parties. That changes some people's outlook on risk. Understand this year so far, no one has said we don't have to take a required minimum distribution. So distribution to back. I got a call from one of our clients right before the show, and she wanted to know if she could take $10,000 out of an account, and what should she take it out of. So I immediately went and looked up her required minimum distributions for this year, and I said to her, I said, are you sitting down? And she said, no, I'm not. I said, would you please do that for me? I said, because you're talking about taking out 10, you've got to take out close to 28,000 this year to meet your required minimum distribution.
Wow.
And she said, oh my goodness, I'm so glad you told me to sit down. And she's like, well, why that much? I said, well, because you made money, so you have to take out money. It's the dichotomy, you know.
When the value of your account is going up and that denominator is going down, your required minimum distribution factor, you're taking more money out.
You have to wind up taking more, and that kind of throws people off. So one of the things you're going to want to know, now that those numbers are out, is what is your required minimum distribution going to be for this year? And that's going to help you do some additional tax planning, because remember, that is considered earned income. So, that 27, almost $28,000 we're talking about for my client, our client, is going to be added right to her tax bracket. So before you start doing things, understand that that goes into tax planning.
And I really like what you said about revisiting your asset allocation and your investment objectives and how, how often do we meet with folks that have had a portfolio, or let's say they invested money a long time ago with a certain asset allocation in their 401k and ended up leaving it with that same asset allocation for years, decades, and you
Decades.
meet with them, they're about to retire, say in their 60s, and they're 100% invested in either the market or their company's publicly traded stock, and you say, "What are you thinking?" "Oh, I set that up 25 years ago or 30 years ago. I never changed it." Well, you've been very fortunate, but now it's time to revisit what your true asset allocation and what your risk tolerance is.
And that's exactly right, Bob. And I'm glad you brought that up because, we do see people that do that. We sit down and we do a risk profile, and they'll come out in the mid to low 40s as far as risk tolerance. And then you run an assessment on that old 401k, and they're like at a 67, 68 as far as the amount of risk they're taking. That's a huge, huge amount of difference. And believe me, once you get ready to retire, you can't afford to lose that much money unless you got like gabillions, you know?
And one of the questions that I heard posed to a client a long time ago, and I've always held on to this. And for our younger listeners, believe it or not, when you get into your 60s or your post-retirement, you are, would you say you're a little set in your ways, Annalee, and maybe not ready to travel as much as you think you're going to want to when you were in your 40s. You know what I mean? But we ask our clients, what if you doubled your money? You doubled your retirement assets. How would that change your life? And most people, that are retiring in their 60s say, not much. We kind of do what we do, and it wouldn't change my life. Well, let's take the opposite of that. What if you lost half of your assets? How would that change your life? Oh my gosh, that would change everything. And so it's a great question to ask. And of course, it's not that dramatic, but it's possible. So you do need to adjust your investment objectives and possibly your asset allocation when you're entering retirement.
And all that, Bob, goes back to my favorite thing that I always talk about. What do you have to do? You have to have a plan. Because if you don't have a plan, you don't know how much money you can or cannot spend. You have to be able to look at the worst scenario, the best scenario, and you have to be able to look at life's what ifs. What if you have to replace the roof? What if the air conditioner and the refrigerator and the microwave all decide at the same time, we're not working anymore? Sorry.
Right.
Because, you know,
right.
That's the way it happens in a house.
Gotta have
the refrigerator looks over at the microwave and says, if you're not working, I'm not working. I mean, you know, and everything falls apart.
That
you know,
is so true. That is so true.
It has to happen. Yeah.
It's like they catch whatever's going around and they just start.
Exactly.
It's contagious.
Exactly. And
exactly.
Have you ever had to replace a dishwasher handle? And I mean, the cost of, the sum of the parts, for any appliance is well over $5,000 if you buy them individually.
The original cost,
yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, it turns out being a lot to replace just one little part. It's much better, much easier, and probably in the long run, more cost effective just to replace the whole unit.
I
think that things when I was growing up and my parents were growing up and their parents were growing up, things were made to last.
Right.
Now things are purposely built to have a set shelf life and then they're gone. And like you said, they're so built that it's less expensive to buy a new one than to repair the old one.
Right.
I learned a term for this in my human factors engineering study. It's designed obsolescence.
Huh.
That's it.
Just like software. Just like I can't update my iPad any further. Oh, I guess I have to buy a new one.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My dishwasher handle broke. I guess I'll buy a new house.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know, or you get this thing on your phone all of a sudden that says, oh, no, you have no more storage.
Oh, that conversation has been very real in our household over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's like, what do I do now? My phone has no more storage. I cannot live without my phone.
I have to buy more. Yes.
Yeah.
I have to buy a new phone. I mean, it's you know, so you've got to figure those things into a what-if budget. And if you want to travel, you know, sit down and talk to each other about that. Don't just come in and tell Bob or I, but we want to travel. Okay, people, there's travel, and then there's travel.
Right.
Which one do you want to do?
There's travel, you know? And then there's traveling in style and doing it often, right?
Hello. I mean, we actually have one client, and they have the money. They can do this, where we figured in $30,000 a year for her to take the trips that she likes to take.
Right.
And they have been taking that type of trip for many, many years now while working. They want to continue that into retirement.
Right.
So then, you know, if somebody comes in and says, well, Bob, we love to go, you know, and put our hiking boots on and our plaid shirt and we get our tent and we go pitch it in the woods, that's going to cost a heck of a lot less.
Right.
So
it's very
right.
different.
And yeah, I remember a client and in their retirement, and they liked roughing it, and they bought a teardrop. Have you ever heard of the teardrop?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just pull it. I mean, it's smaller than a trailer that you'd pull behind your trucker. And actually, you can pull it with a car. It doesn't need to be a truck or SUV.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a teardrop. And all you do is it's really a mattress and you sleep in it. So that was their plan, and then they were members at the YMCA, and you can stop in at the YMCA anywhere across the country and get your shower, your workout in, and then you're on to the next town. And they made a point of just traveling like nomads and just going wherever the weather was nice. So that is a very cost-effective way to travel. But then, we have our $30,000, you know, that's a lot of money in travel. That's
that's a lot of money. But again, you've got to know. I mean, if you say, I want to travel in retirement, and I say to you, well, what kind of traveling have you been doing? And you say, well, you know, every year we get in the car and we drive to wherever. But your idea of traveling in retirement is to go on a QE2 for 3 weeks. I need to know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That QE2 type travel is, that's going to be very expensive. It's going to take a chunk out of your retirement.
Honey, I would just love to walk onto that thing and see it. I mean, you know, God knows I'll never travel on it, but I would love to just see that. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we're getting into this new year, that's something you want to think about. And, you know, you've got to look at how your money is, where are your assets located? How is that going to be affecting your taxes? You know, if you're in the tax bracket where, oops, it's time
more
for the news.
The news.
Doggone. All right.
Good morning, Mark. What is going on in the world today? Hopefully good news for Annalee.
Good morning. Escambia Please. County students are back in class. They've got some new quarantine procedures, though. We'll tell you about it coming up after Fox News.
News. I'm Chris Foster. How much President-elect Biden can get done with the help of Congress could be determined by today's election results in Georgia.
Georgia voters head to the polls to determine the outcome of two Senate runoffs and ultimately the balance of power in the chamber. The election is taking place amid a cloud of skepticism among many Trump supporters who share the president's distrust of the outcome of the November race. More than 3 million Georgians have already cast early ballots.
Fox's Jonathan Seri. Republicans retain control of the Senate by winning one of the races in Georgia. Democrats need both. Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley says what he calls Antifa thugs demonstrated outside his home in Washington, D.C.
Hawley tweeted the protesters screamed threats, vandalized, and tried to pound open his door. The group Shut Down D.C. claims it staged a candlelight vigil and tried to deliver a copy of the U.S. Constitution to the home, calling the senator a snowflake on Twitter.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. It's 61 and mostly sunny. Good morning, I'm Mark Jacobs. Students back in class in Escambia County, and there are new COVID-19 quarantine procedures. Students now able to return to school on the 11th day following an exposure, provided they have no symptoms. Students may return as early as the 8th day after an exposure if they have no symptoms and have obtained a negative PCR test. Administered on the 6th day or later after exposure, students will need to observe the full 14 days of quarantine from extracurricular activities and athletics. A man sentenced to life in a 1991 murder is going to be re-sentenced. James Bonifay, sentenced in the murder of an employee at an auto parts store during a robbery. Bonifay was 17 at the time and initially sentenced to death before the U.S. Supreme Court ruled juveniles could not receive capital punishment. And a few years ago, Florida passed some laws impacting juveniles sentenced to life. State Attorney Bill Edden says Bonifay will now go before a judge again to determine whether or not the life sentence should be upheld. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
That high today near 64 degrees. We will be seeing mostly sunny skies this afternoon, turning into mostly clear skies overnight. Tonight, those temperatures dropping back into the lower 40s. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
61 in Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, and in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Stocks are mixed. The Dow Industrials down 49 at 30,174. The S&P 500 is down a point, but the NASDAQ is up nearly 30. The Transportation Department has quietly dropped a probe into how airlines share information, such as fares and schedules, with online travel providers, though the incoming Biden administration could revive what's long been a touchy consumer issue. Airlines, including Delta, restricted information shared with some online travel sites, prompting the DOT to start surveying the industry back in 2016. It suspended the process on December 31st. Procter & Gamble and Billy Incorporated, which sells women's razors and other body care products, have decided to terminate their planned merger. And the Federal Trade Commission filed a complaint in December aimed to stop the deal. Disney World in Orlando has announced a new four-day ticket offer to Florida residents. It amounts to just $50 a ticket. Disney's four-day Discover Disney ticket will provide guests access to one theme park per day for any four consecutive or scattered days. Your Money Now.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation. And today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Technology Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets. They're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Now, more of the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All I do is win. Money on my mind. Everybody's angles up. And they stay there. Ooh, winning. I just heard something that Mark said that was very, very good. And talk about a win. You can go into Disney for $50 a day. Bob, I think I need time off.
Wow. I mean, that's a throwback price.
I mean, that's one of my favorite places in the whole world, you know, because I get to go and be five again. I love it.
I'll drive, Annalie. I'll come pick you up.
All right,
up.
Babe.
We're on
I
the
see
way.
It. Road trip. Road
I got
trip.
Extra ears.
We're going. Oh, I love it. I love it. We're going. Ruthie and Annalie at a road trip. This could be scary.
We might not come back. Bob, you'll have to run
we
the show.
May not. Yeah. We may not. We'll just be calling Bob and say, Bob, press this button. Talk about that. Okay, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
You got this.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. All right.
You know.
Back to the serious.
The last time I went to Disney, hold on, and then back to the series. The last time I went to Disney, I thought I was a thrill ride seeker, or a thrill ride fan. I am not.
Uh-huh.
Those days are over.
No longer
an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, that was, it was horrible. It was horrible.
No, I never was. I never was, never will be. Yeah. But there's enough there to go and do. That's lots of fun.
Well, the food.
Food
alone.
If you got some time off, people go.
Yeah,
great.
They dropped the price. They dropped the price of admission, and they tripled the price of the food, right?
That's right.
Because once you get in there, they got you.
Oh, it's so true.
Oh, yeah. They definitely do. Yeah. All right, so let's kind of go back to where we left off, and I want to remind you, you're listening to Winning with Mainstay with Annalie and Bob, and if you got a comment or you got a question, it doesn't have to be on what we're talking about, call us or text us at 437-1620, or call my office, 437-3127, and make an appointment to either talk to me on the phone, do a Zoom, come in. If you come in, you have to have a mask on. If ever I'm able to get through and get a vaccination, I might feel better, but I don't just now. So we're all doing the little mask and playing the Lone Ranger type thing. So, but we're glad to talk to you about anything that you have a question on. So when you're looking at asset allocation and we're talking about taxes and possibility of them going up, especially for those in a higher income, one of the things that we do here at Mainstay, and Bob, we've got a couple of clients that are very active in this portfolio. Mm-hmm. We have what is called a tax efficient portfolio. Right. The way the portfolio is designed, you may not make as much, but what you save on taxes, you wind up getting as much of a yield or more than you would from something that's making 2 to 3 times more.
Exactly.
So if you're in that area, you may want to call us and let's talk about that, because taxes make a really important thing about, where you're going.
Right.
And then how much risk do you really want to take? Bobby made an excellent point a minute ago about, that whole thing of, if you made double the money, would you change your lifestyle? If you lost half your money, would it change your lifestyle?
Right.
I know it would mine.
Yeah. And even if it doesn't, doesn't change the bottom line or what you need, just the mindset and the emotional toll it would take on you. I mean, people You know, and we know back in 2008, earlier this year, people that wanted to get out of the market in April, you know, stood to lose quite a bit of their money. But
yes.
The emotional toll that takes on you getting out at that time. And so you need to have a plan, as we discussed. You need to know your risk tolerance, and that drives your asset allocation and your investment objectives. And, you know, with that plan, you know, you'll be in a good place, but you've got to stick to it. And what do they say, Annalie? And Ruthie knows all these quotes and who is credited with them, but
I love it.
The one, planning to fail is failing to plan.
Sure.
Or wait, failing to plan is planning to fail. Yes. Is that, can you name that one, Ruthie?
Oh, man. Okay, the first thing that came to mind is Carnegie, but I am not sure.
Who's the guy you love?
Oh, Jim Collins.
Jim Collins.
Jim Collins, could be great.
Might have been him.
So good.
Yes, he is.
Well, actually, I guess he's great.
That's been around for a long time. You know, but it's true. I mean, you've got to have a plan, people. You've got to know what you're looking at. You've got to understand, at least on the surface, why you're being put in the portfolios you're in. You don't have to take that deep dive and, you know, go study for the next 5 years, 10 years to be at a level where Bob and I are, you know, cumulatively, we've got 62 years of knowledge between the two of us.
Yeah.
That's a lot of learning, but at least understand why things are suggested for your taxes, why we suggest short-term bond ladders, because the bonds are getting beaten up by these low interest rates. And that's another thing. I mean, the interest rates eventually are going to have to start going back up, guys. I don't know when it's going to happen, but they're going to have to for the structure of the economy.
Right.
Annalie, I'm going to break in just for a moment to.
Yeah, baby.
I want to let you know we've got a couple questions coming in, and we've got David from Pensacola has called in, and I want to say welcome to Winning with Mainstay. Good morning, David.
Good morning, David.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I have a question here regarding, I guess, your field more than anything else. That I have a financial advisor, and part of that was signing like 30, 40 pages of real fine print on and on and on and on. I'm not sure what it all says, but my main question is, when someone in your field decides to close the doors, close up shop or something, what happens to people's accounts and so forth normally? And I'm just going to hang up and listen to what might transpire in such a situation.
Thank you. So before you go, David, let me recap the question. So your question is, if you have an advisor and they decide that they're going to retire or just get out of the field, what happens to people's accounts? Is that correct? I think he's gone already.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that what you heard, Bob?
Yeah, it is. And I think what he's talking about, he signed a lot of paperwork, and, you know, we see that. We don't have that volume of paperwork. But, you know, usually that is with the company that your advisor works for. So as far as, you know, any sort of succession and who would, I would think that if that advisor left the firm, it would be reassigned to another advisor. Your take on that, Annalie?
Yeah, and it's going to depend upon the type of firm you're working with. So if you're with a broker-dealer, and that broker-dealer, you know, all of a sudden your advisor leaves, one of two things is going to happen. Either one of the junior advisors, or if it's big enough account, one of the senior advisors in that firm will take over that account. If it's a smaller account, you may all of a sudden get a statement that says, unassigned. So you really don't have anyone watching your account. It depends upon whether it's a managed account or just a broker dealer account. Now, if you're with a smaller firm like ours, you know, what happens in that situation is we form succession plans. So for now, if something were to happen to me, all of my clients already know that Bob is here. You know, Bob's been with me over a year now, and that's part of the succession plan.
Right.
And part of what we're going to do this year is bring in someone younger than Bob, who is female, So that secession plan continues, so that if you're here, you're going to already know the person who's going to, as such, step in the shoes. And I think that's important for every advisor to do, because none of us know how long we have on this earth. You've got to be prepared for anything.
And David, to answer your question, if your relationship has been with just one advisor and you haven't been working with a team like you do at Mainstay, you know, that may be cause for concern. The other thing I want to, a lot of times the way this story ends is, you know, how many times do we meet folks, people that become our clients, Annalee, and they were with another firm, and they said, well, that guy left, and I had some other guy, and the next thing I know, I'm calling a 1-800 number and talking to somebody, you know, in Dallas. And so, you know, we can't explain how that happened, but if you weren't given, you know, an adequate explanation, you know, we sure can't, you know, give you one either. So,
and again, I think that's a lot of the difference, Bob, between working with a broker dealer and working with a fiduciary.
Right.
They should, whoever you're working with, should be able to tell you that, what that firm's philosophy is, who's going to be stepping in. What if you get very ill? What if all of a sudden you pass away? And I think that has come more to the forefront than anything over this last year. People have really had the realization of how fragile life is. So you better have a plan.
Gosh, that's a great point, Annalee. And David, you know, we've had shows where we've had segments here on Winning with Annalee, where we've pointed out, you know, the top 10 questions to ask your investment advisor. Mm-hmm. And one of those is, it's always one of the 10, what happens if something happens to you, and you being my investment advisor? So it's a fair question to ask this person.
Definitely is. Now, you said we had a couple of texts also, Ruthie?
Yes, we do. And first, I want to take a moment to correct myself. It was Winston Churchill.
Was Winston.
Yeah, much
old. And my future father-in-law, I hope he's not listening because I got that one wrong.
She is, Ruthie's the,
We won't tell.
The quote queen.
I'm trying to stay on top of it, though. Yeah. That was a big one. So that was Winston Churchill. So this is a question that got texted in while we were talking about, you know, adjusting investments. So this person just asked, what are some considerations for adjusting my investments and asset allocation? And we've talked about a few.
Right.
But want to make sure we hit on that, and said thank you so much for texting your question in.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that those fall into two categories, you know, quantitative and qualitative. And of course, the quantitative are measurable. You know, your age is probably one of the biggest factors. Are you still working? Is there money still coming in? You know, do you have dependents? Dependents being either children, spouse, you know, or other dependents, you know, extended family, or as we see now, parents, right? So, you know, the parents become dependents. Some more qualitative ones are, you know, just your emotional handling of volatility in the market. Isn't it interesting, Annalee, how, you know, the folks that know the most about the market that retire and just start tuning into, you know, Bloomberg, Yahoo Finance, CNBC, they are probably the ones least likely to need a 100% stock portfolio, because they are just, they can't drag themselves away from the volatility, and it affects them, you know?
Right. And I think that's it, Bob, and you've hit on it. It's how many more working years do you have? Are you going to keep putting money in? Are you at retirement? Do you have an emergency fund to dip in if you need it?
Right.
Because the one thing you don't want to do is be dipping into the market when it's down.
Right.
If you have to do that, then you definitely need to look at reducing some of your volatility.
Right.
A 20-year-old can certainly take a lot more risk than a 65 or a 66-year-old.
Right.
A 66-year-old can take more risk than an 80-year-old.
Right.
It's a time factor
right.
that you look at, and then your own emotional aspect. And that's, you know, I always tell people do this, you know, when you're talking to people and you say, well, could you take a 10% loss? Oh, yeah, that's no big deal. Okay, so you're telling me that if you have a $200,000 portfolio, if you lose $20,000, it's not going to give you a heart attack. Oh, no, wait, no, I don't want to lose that much. Well, you just told me 10%, you
right.
see? So make it real,
right.
and that helps each individual come to a conclusion of just how much risk that they can take.
Right,
and I'm
glad you mentioned the cash and having, you know, an emergency fund or just,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just need to have you know, cash is part of your asset allocation. You know, how much
yes.
do you place in cash? And that's part of the conversation. That takes us right back to the, you know, the questionnaire that we have our clients fill out. It's
mm-hmm.
a risk assessment. And one of the questions is indeed the one you just shared. You know, what
yeah.
is, you know, what is your, where are you? What is your mindset if your portfolio is invested and drops by 10%? And
right.
A lot of people don't want any part of that, and that's a very
right.
helpful question.
Sure.
And that actually leads really nicely what you just mentioned about that concrete example, Annalee, about the $200,000 portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other question that came in is, how do I determine my risk profile? Is there a
yeah.
a tool, or is that just a good, like, put yourself through some exercises? How do you know if you're risk averse?
We have a great risk profile, and that's what we
yeah.
call our risk assessment, our investor assessment, and it's 10 questions that everybody should answer or be asked specifically by their investment advisor to determine
mm-hmm.
their risk tolerance.
Okay, so this isn't just when you get on the roller coaster.
Right.
This is a little more in depth than that.
Right.
It's
right.
more in depth, and I think it goes a bit further than just the risk profile. It's sitting with a client, you know, before we ever make any suggestions for a client, we have spent an hour and a half to 3 hours with that client learning about them and about their life and
right.
their needs. And very often people will answer something on paper one way because they think that's what they're supposed to answer.
Right.
Well, I read, if this happens, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you honestly find out your risk assessment. When you're answering those questions, think about what it does to your heart and your gut
mm-hmm.
when you read them. Because money is emotional. Money is not strictly intellectual. When you open up a statement and you see that your portfolio went down $20,000, $30,000, very, 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 very few people intellectualize that and say, well, you know, the market's going to come back. It's strictly an adjustment. I have to wait. Most people have heart palpitations
yes.
and stomach upset.
Right.
So you got to think about that. If you really want to know, how do I face risk? Let's really talk about how you're going to take risk. How much, and then that's part of your advisor's job, is to find out enough about you to know how much you could possibly lose and still maintain a lifestyle. You know, people might say, oh, yeah, I don't care. But if your lifestyle dictates this and you lose 40%, 50% like people did in 08 because they were overinvested in one area, and your whole lifestyle changes, somebody really miscalculated on you.
Exactly.
You know, so it's not just a, let me take a test. It's, let's sit down, let's talk with our advisor, let's really hash this out.
Right.
And then you do what we do. We do a whole proposal that'll show you, these are your potential gains, but at the same time, this is potentially how much you could go down.
Right. We apply the stress tests. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not an easy yes, no, just look at this piece of paper and you're going to know.
It's a whole combination. Yeah. Nor is it a one-time exercise. You review annually, at least every time you meet. Have what is your mindset? Have things changed? What are your needs? Of course you're going to age. So just the idea that your risk tolerance, your investment objectives, and certainly your asset allocation will not change over time is very unlikely.
Mm. Right. Right. So, that all goes back, Ruthie, to what I've said so many times. Part of the planning is to give you some peace of mind, which is why very often part of a portfolio will go to an area that is totally safe, that you can't lose. And we set that up either for income or a decent growth. But it doesn't mean you have to have every single penny that you have out in a risk profile at all. It doesn't mean that in the least, okay? As we're going into this year, if you're 70 and a half, qualified charitable distributions still legal. Ruthie, let me know if we get another one, okay?
Oh, I will.
Those distributions are still legal. You can give up to $100,000 of your IRA per person, your 401k your IRA to a charity. Again, a reminder, the required minimum distribution age was pushed back to 72. So it's no longer that 70 and a half, 71, unless you already had to start them. That doesn't change that. That's still there. They changed the rules. If you're working and you're doing required minimum distributions, you can still contribute to an IRA. Used to be you couldn't do that. Now you can. Bob, you mentioned Roth conversions. Right. Also, for those with high income, think about doing a backdoor Roth.
Right.
That can make you a lot of money over the years that sure later can. On you don't have to pay taxes on.
Right.
You know? What else do we have for this coming year?
And the good old one that often gets overlooked, and that's another one that, just rarely changes, is harvesting gains, or losses, depending on, if you sold a piece of property maybe you took a loss on it and you have gains in your investment portfolio and you want to even those out, or if you want to go ahead and just use the loss carry forward, which can be used to the tune of $3,000 per year against your taxable income, you can do that. But it's something you need to take a look at, because any asset that you've held that is not in a qualified plan, meaning an IRA, a Roth IRA, your 401k, has tax consequences when you sell it.
Yes.
And that's something you need to keep an eye on and take a look at every single day.
And of course, we can still give gifts. You can give up to $15,000 to someone per person. So if you have a child and they are married, you can give that child $15,000. You can give the spouse $15,000. And your spouse can do the same thing.
Right.
Give each of them $15,000.
Right.
So if you're thinking about gifting, that's up to $15,000 a year per person.
Right.
I always tell everybody I'm available for adoption, Bob, but nobody does it.
Don't give up on that,
I keep trying.
It's a whole new year. Anything could happen.
I mean,
anything could happen. All right, listen, please go out, say please, say thank you, smile at someone, tell them they've done a good job if they have, and that way we truly, truly will thank you.
What a wonderful.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.